Act 1. London, 1756. The Society for Appreciation of the English Beefsteak, a gentleman's club. Lord John Grey jerked his eyes away from the door. No. No, he mustn't turn and stare. Needing some other focus for his gaze, he fixed his eyes instead on Quarry's scar.
A glass with you, sir.
Scarcely waiting for the club's steward to provide for his companion, Harry Quarry drained his cup of claret, then held it out for more.
And another, perhaps, in honour of your return from frozen exile?
Quarry grinned broadly, the scar pulling down the corner of his eye in a lewd wink as he did so, and lifted up his glass again. Lord John tilted his own cup in acceptance of the salute, but barely tasted the contents. With an effort, he kept his eyes on Quarry's face, willing himself not to turn and stare, not to gawk after the flash of fire that had caught his eye in the corridor. Quarry's scar had faded, tightened and shrunk to a thin white slash, its nature made plain only by its position, angled hard across the ruddy cheek. It might otherwise have lost itself among the lines of hard living, but instead remained visible, the badge of honour that its owner so plainly considered it. "You're exceedingly kind to note my return, sir," Grey said. His heart hammered in his ears, muffling Quarry's words. No great loss to conversation. "It is not," his sensible mind pointed out. "It cannot be." Yet sense had nothing to do with the riot of his sensibilities, that surge of feeling that seized him by nape and buttocks as though it would pluck him up and turn him forcibly to go in pursuit of the red-haired man he had so briefly glimpsed. Quarry's elbow nudged him rudely, a not unwelcome recall to present circumstances.
"Among the ladies, eh?"
"Eh?"
"I say your return has been noted elsewhere, too. My sister-in-law bid me send you her regard and discover your present lodgings. Do you stay with the regiment?"
"No, I am at present at my mother's house in Jermyn Street." Finding his cup still full, Grey raised it and drank deep. The beefsteak's claret was of excellent vintage, but he scarcely noticed its bouquet. There were voices in the hall outside, raised in altercation.
"Ah, I'll inform her then. Expect an invitation by the morning post. Lucinda has her eye upon you for a cousin of hers, I dare say. She has a flock of poor but well-favoured female relations whom she means to shepherd to good marriages."
Quarry's teeth showed briefly.
"Be warned."
Grey nodded politely. He was accustomed to such overtures. The youngest of four brothers, he had no hopes of a title, but the family name was ancient and honourable, his person and countenance not without appeal, and he had no need of an heiress, his own means being ample. The door flung open, sending such a draught across the room as made the fire in the hearth roar up like the flames of Hades, scattering sparks across the turkey carpet. Grey gave thanks for the burst of heat. It gave excuse for the colour that he felt suffuse his cheeks. Nothing like. Of course he's nothing like. Who could be? And yet the emotion that filled his breast was as much disappointment as relief. The man was tall, yes, but not strikingly so. Slight of build, almost delicate. And young. Younger than Grey's 30-odd by nearly 10, he judged. But the hair. Yes. The hair was very like.
"Lord John Grey."
Quarry had intercepted the young man, a hand on his sleeve, turning him for introduction.
"Allow me to acquaint you with my cousin by marriage, Mr. Robert Gerald."
Mr. Gerald nodded shortly, then seemed to take hold of himself. Suppressing whatever it was that had caused the blood to rise under his fair skin, he bowed, then fixed his gaze on Grey in cordial acknowledgement.
"Your servant, sir."
"And yours?"
Not copper, not carrot, a deep red, almost rufous, with glints and streaks of cinnabar and gold.
The eyes were not blue, thank God, but rather of a soft and luminous brown. Grey's mouth had gone dry. To his relief, Quarry offered refreshment, and upon Gerald's agreement, snapped his fingers for the steward and steered the three of them to an armchaired corner, where the haze of tobacco smoke hung